say it's good to be with you this morning in worship and in praise, but also it's good and it's necessary so to look together at this book, at the Word of God. We are living in days of major change in almost every area of society. I've got to smile sometimes, you know, as I walk through Lancaster. So many people on the mobile phone, and if they're not on it, they're certainly carrying it. Now, I'm not decrying, you know, this instant means of communication. It's certainly beneficial if used properly. But I'm sure, you know, that we're all fully aware of the changes that affect each one of our lives as we travel this journey of life. And as we go through the various situations and circumstances that come our way, you know, there are many different and various ways that are open to us. But isn't it good to know this morning that the most important possession that you and I have in life need not indeed, never will change, because it's as relevant today as it has ever been. The need it meets is the same need that came into this world when Adam and Eve brought chaos to the human race all those years ago. The Bible, God's Word, as we read it, as we believe it, and as we act upon its message, it brings a reality to living that nothing and no one else ever can. Those words in Matthew chapter 24 tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Our God, that through Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Matthew chapter 5. I tell you this morning, that's the greatest news that I've ever heard. And this morning, it can be experienced by anyone and everyone as we put our faith and our trust in the one who said it, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're in this period of time known as Lent, this preparation time running up to what I believe for every born-again believer, for every child of God, the greatest time, this time of Easter, when we remember afresh. Yeah, we remember constantly, don't we? But we're refreshed again as we remember what Easter is all about. The purpose for which Jesus came, why he suffered, and why he died upon a cross. The reason? Because of God's love for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? In verses 9 and 10 of the passage that we've read, we read, this is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves us, and God loved us. And you know, he actioned his love for us in and through his only Son. There's only one Son. There's no one else like him. Yeah, I know in the Bible that it says in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 2, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. And we praise him for that. But you know, there's only one body that carries the marks of crucifixion. There's only one with the nail prints in his hands. There's only one with the scar deep into his side where the blood flowed. There's only one who's given his life so that we can be forgiven and know citizenship in heaven. Preparing this message, I was reminded of that old hymn, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. What's grace? Grace is God pouring his love through his Son there upon the cross for you and for me. And yet, you know, we are born with a nature that opposes God. We're born with a nature that, you know, it's me first, last, and always. And yet, God's nature and his character is full of love towards us that are sometimes so unlovely. Yet his love continually streams down upon us, however we're feeling, whatever we've done, his love for us is unchanged. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us, taking the punishment that we deserve, that we might be saved from God's anger, all because he really does love you and me. Dare I ask you this morning then, how is your love relationship with Jesus? I remember, I think it was Betty Lou Mills, during a Billy Graham crusade here in this country, that she used to sing that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me." How do we know God's love in our lives this morning? Do we really sense his love? You know, I was speaking with a man just a few days ago, a chap that I meet with about once a fortnight, a good Christian brother, young man with a big family. And he said, you know, I go through days sometimes when I don't feel God's love. And I remember going home that night and thinking, what is feeling? If I had to come round this morning and ask you, what is a feeling? Well, I'm sure I'd get many and varied answers. You know, if you put your hand on a red hot plate, you get a feeling. You get a feeling of pain. How would you describe God's love as a feeling in your life? Is God's love an emotional thing? Real emotions that come from deep within us and really stir us up inside? You know, we could spend a lot of time thinking about feelings and emotions, and in some ways, I tend to think that these are the two sides of the same coin. But this morning, I come here to you and I thank God that within his word, there in verse 12, it says that no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. It's made complete. It's absolute. Do we know that? Do we experience that? A true knowledge through God living in our lives, is it affecting the way that we act? Our love for one another. Christ, God in Christ demonstrated his love. Is that love, is God's love evident in your life this morning? By your actions, by my actions. There is a saying, you know, that actions speak louder than words, and really, it's pretty true. But also the Bible tells us that faith, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So we can come along to church and we can dot the I's and cross the T's and look ever so respectable. But if we've not faith, there'll be no love. There'll be no action. Because it's only as God, as we yield to God and allow his love to work through us, then things begin to happen. John's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Well, you know, I'm speaking to myself this morning. Do I really love the members of my congregation in Lancaster? Oh, there's some I struggle with. But amazingly, God somehow gives me a heart for them. I don't understand it. I used to work with a man And he was really the most obnoxious, difficult person that I've ever worked with in my 52 years of working life. I know the other men around could have got hold of him and knocked him to the floor many a time. He's not a nice man. And yet somehow, I had a love for him. I had a care for him and a concern. Hey, and I'll tell you what, that's not natural. That's of the Lord. Only he can do that. Yeah, as I said to the young folks, you can read as many good books as you like. Yeah, and that's good. I'm not decrying that. But there's only one book whereby you read of a man that can change your life. Change your life properly, I mean. Not just botch it up and make it do. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You must be born again. That's a new beginning. Wow. I trust this morning, if you've not had a new beginning, then you'll begin today. Begin with Jesus and see what he can do in your life. You know, it's really most amazing. We ordinary folks, if we let him, he can take a hold upon us and work through us. It's not us, but it's him. But of course, we've got to be willing to let him do it. A Salvation Army lassie found an abandoned woman on the street and invited her to come along to chapel for help, but the woman refused to move. The Salvation Army worker assured her, she said, "We love you and we want to help you. God loves you and Jesus died for you." But the woman never moved. And as if on divine impulse, this Salvation Army lassie, she leaned over and she kissed her on the cheek. And she put her arms around her. The woman began to weep. And like a child, she was led into the chapel where ultimately she gave her life to Christ. These two ladies met some time later. And the lady said to the Salvation Army worker, she said, you told me that you loved me, but it wasn't until you showed me that I wanted to be saved. Isn't that so true? What a lesson. We can tell folks we love them, but if we don't put it into action, it really means so little or even nothing. Yeah, we've got to be a people of action. And if ever the British Isles needed Christians to be in action, then it must be today. We see folks that are going at a great speed to a lost eternity. How sad. Oh, that God would give us another vision of hell. Hey, we'd be out there, wouldn't we? Telling folks, allowing him to work through us. Does God's love this morning stir you and I into action? Not to sit comfortably in church, but to get out there into the messy, difficult, broken lives of so many people in these days in which we live. With more sophistication, with more technical things than ever we've had, and we have lives that are in a greater desperate state, or they appear to be, than they've ever been before. Drink and drugs. Looking for answers. I don't know, and I've got to be, I suppose, be careful how I say this. I better have a drink of water before I say this, but we get the Daily Mail at home. It gets me out in the morning. I enjoy my walk. I really do the crossword. That's what I buy the paper for. But also, it's a good walk. But I just happened last night to pick it up and read about Prince Charles. And I'm going to read it. It's a supplement that's in the Daily Mail for the next 3 or 4 days. And my heart broke as I read of that man. Millions, he's got everything. He's got the servants running after him. He even takes a special cushion wherever he goes and they carry it for him. And yet I could really be so dissatisfied with life. He will be, won't he? We know that because we can have the world, but we've got nothing. Only Jesus. Only he is the one that makes the difference. Verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. Yeah, it's all of him. He took the initiative. He came to this earth for you and for me. We love him because of his love for us. His love came down. Not something that we work up. Not something that's engineered. It's something that we receive from a loving Father. It's God's love within us that transforms our life, that guides us through every obstacle and every difficult relationship. It's His love that brings unity amongst the body of believers. And verse 20 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. Oh, how we need the unity of the brotherhood, don't we? The sisterhood today. Division, I believe, in the family of believers is one of the ugliest and most destructive issues ever found amongst the people of God. Pretending everything's okay. Reading those words that we're all one in Christ Jesus, when there are underlying currents of suspicion and mistrust. This destroys unity and it disables the work of God. Here in these verses, His word clearly shows us that it's holiness of life that also demonstrates our love for Christ. In John chapter 14, there and in verse 15, we read, Yeah, 14 and 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Do we really then? Maybe we need to take stock, and I believe we do from time to time. Do we really love Jesus? Are we obeying his command? Because that's the true test, isn't it? Yes, if God's love is allowed to live and work within us, that's his love within us. It's not ours. And it's a command. It's not an optional extra. Oh, let's take God's word seriously. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Verse 21 of that same chapter says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. I believe it was J.C. Ryle that said, I believe that far more is done for Christ's kingdom by the holy living of believers than we are all aware of. Holiness of life produces evidence of God's love within us. I've never preached on this passage before, but clearly it came to me a few weeks ago. And yeah, it's a real time of stock-taking in our relationship, in our love relationship with the Lord Jesus. We're coming up again to this, as I've already mentioned, this special time of year when God demonstrated for us his love in his one and only Son. The Son that was willing to take our punishment, broke the Father's heart. But Jesus was willing to go to Calvary to buy our salvation, that we might be spared the punishment of our sin and the destruction of hell. Oh, may God move us this morning as we conclude this message and as we come towards the end of this service, because of God's love within us, flowing through us. This is proof to our world that we are Christ's disciples. Yeah, John's Gospel there in chapter 13 and verse 34-35 says, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And so before we can go out yonder, we've got to be right inside in our relationship with him, in our relationship with each other. There's a little comment at the bottom of my Bible here regarding these verses. And it says, love, the distinguishing mark of Christ's followers. And I've got to check myself. Is that the distinguishing mark of this life? God's love. Oh, my prayer today is that for myself and for each one of us, this may be evidenced today. So that tomorrow we can go out and allow his love to flow out to others. To those with whom we meet, those with whom we work, maybe neighbours with whom we live, that this Easter time we might see men and women and young people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, born again of his Spirit. You know what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says? For Christ's love compels us. Because we're convinced he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. Yeah, we rejoice this morning for the Saviour that hung upon a cross, but we rejoice that he's alive, and he's alive forevermore this morning, interceding at the Father's right hand on your behalf and mine. What a God. Oh, may our love for him today. Yeah, if it needs checking, if it needs sorting out, don't say, well, we'll see another Sunday. We don't know for tomorrow, never mind next Sunday. We're here saved, I trust. If you don't know the Lord this morning, don't go out of here without him. Dear me. He's so precious. He can make such a difference to your life. He's the only one that can give you meaning and purpose. There's no purpose without him. You read what Prince Charles will be saying, I don't doubt, this next week. Poor man. Everything but nothing. This morning, these material possessions, they fall away, rust and decay. But our faith in the Lord Jesus is for all eternity. He said, I never will leave you. I'll never forsake you. Well, how that thrills my heart today. Whatever we're going through in life, whatever situation we're called to go through. My mother is in an old people's home. She's 96 in a fortnight. Sadly, she doesn't know me. She's got dementia. Sad situation. There's about 30 of them. She tells me every time I want to go home because I don't know anybody here. She's been there for 3 years. See, we don't know what's before us. But she knows the Lord. And to me, that's quite incredible. She doesn't know me, her son, but she knows the Lord. Because he said, I will be with you always. May this morning we know him. May we allow his love to work through us. And may we see lives change because of his love. That whosoever will may come. May God grant it for his dear name's sake. Amen.